Thank you for worshiping. Thank you for praying. Our nation definitely needs your prayers. Amen. Our country, our state, we all need the Lord's help right now. And so I love when David cries out for help in the Bible and God always comes through, right? So God hears us when we call for help. So turn your Bibles to Jeremiah 17, or your phones, or whatever you can get to. Thurman can't find his phone, so he can't get there. somebody probably has it hidden somewhere. So Jeremiah 17, we're going to end up there. We're going to share some verses beforehand, but I just want to thank everybody for coming this morning. I hope everybody's doing well. After the service, we're just going to have like a little small little time of prayer, like we did last week as well. So just to hang on tight a little bit after the service. But just so thankful you guys are doing well. We've been in this series for 4 weeks now, making life work. As you can probably see from the media, but God has given us some principles to make life work. And so we're going to be in Jeremiah just for a little bit later on, but I just want to share a story with you. One of my brother's favorite stories from his perspective. I was on the receiving end of this story, so it wasn't my favorite moment, right? And so I have an older brother. I got two younger brother, younger sister, and it was a Sunday night. I was probably like a freshman in high school. And my mom and dad had went to Sunday evening church, and they took my younger brother and sister. Well, my older brother was a senior at the time, so I just want to congratulate all our seniors in the room. In 2 weeks, we will be honoring our graduates, and so on June 14th. But he was a senior, and it was going to be a senior year, I believe. So he came home secretly. He had his own little car. He came home secretly. I was home by myself. And so it started getting dark at night, and I thought, man, mom and dad should have been back by now. They're not home. Clint should have been back by now. He's not home. So things just started getting dark. Well, we had had a robbery in our house probably a year before. So I was just like, I was a little nervous. And so I locked all the doors except for one. And so my brother found that door, and he came in and started pounding on the door that I locked. It was a solid door, so I couldn't see the other side. So we had like a little breezeway to come into the house. And so that door was still open, but I locked the one that went into the kitchen to the rest of the house in a solid door. So he was just beating on this door. I was just like, who is it? No answer. He just kept beating harder and harder. So there was a part of me that was like, it could be Clint. I think it's Clint, but I was uncertain. You ever had those moments? It's like fear just kind of gets you. And it's like, could this be real? Could this be somebody trying to break in? I'm here by myself. Or could it be my brother playing a nasty prank on me? So I didn't know what to do. And so he kept beating louder and louder. He didn't respond. And so I called my neighbor. And so it was a half mile down the road. I called him. I was like, hey, somebody's trying to get in my house and I'm here by myself. And all of a sudden, click. It's like, are you there? And so immediately, as soon as my brother heard me call for help, he's like, hey, Andy, it's me. I was just mad. I went from fear to being angry real quick. And so so he comes in, he's like, man, he's just laughing at me. And just, I got you and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, he's like, oh, no, we got our neighbor coming. And he's got a gun probably, and so he comes barreling down the road. You could hear his car, high RPM, lights are blaring, the brights are on. He pulls up in our house like gangster style in the back door, comes out cussing and yelling with a gun like this. And we were just laughing. We're like, oh my lands. So I had to go out and tell him, it's like, hey, everything's okay. Clint just prayed this biggest prank on me, And so we all laughed at my expense, and we all kind of settled things down. But it was just a moment I'll never forget, right? Because it was one of those uncertain moments. It's like, could this be real? Could it not be? And so it's just a hard time. And so here's the thing. I didn't trust my brother for a while. A long while after that moment. And so I think many of us could be in that fear moment, trust moment, how do we navigate life moment? Because here's the thing. Just like in the garden when everything was perfect, somebody came knocking on the garden, trying to enter in, trying to disrupt life because it was perfect. Adam and Eve had a perfect life with God. They were loving God, walking with God, obeying God, honoring God. And Satan was like, you know, this needs to stop. And so he had a voice into the garden that Adam and Eve opened the door up. So now they had competing voices to listen to. Well, God said this, and you're saying this, and who are we going to trust? We're so uncertain. And we're living in the information age, and we're getting a lot of people's opinions and voices knocking on our phones and doors, so to speak, and our lives and media, and we're like, well, who do we trust? They're saying this over here. How do we navigate these uncertain times? And so I just want to bring some certainty to our life and to bring us back to some truth this morning, because that's what we need to remind ourselves that we have. We have truth to rely on. We have God's principles to rely on. And so the fourth principle is going to be the principle of trust, trusting God. How do I really trust God in moments like this? And so all throughout history, ever since the fall where sin came into the world, everything has changed, right? You study history and it just keeps repeating itself. And we're just seeing things play out in a different way and shown in a different way. But all the problems that we're facing have been always problems that we've always faced. So how do we get back to that certainty? So there's four principles, since this is the fourth principle. So there's just four observations I want to make this morning. And on trusting God, some of our other principles have been loving God, loving others, obeying God, obeying others, especially our wives. You know, it says that in our vows, right? To love, honor, and obey our wives. Ladies, come on, help me out. That should have been amen right there, right? And then honoring each other, right? Honoring God, honoring other people. We looked at that last week. But today's principle is just strictly vertical. When it comes to trust, we're going to see that it's just one way. We are never called to trust ourselves, we're going to see, or others. The Bible never says trust other people. Do you know that? Now, do we depend on other people? Do we hope that they will help and all these kinds of things? Yes. But we are to never put our trust in man, as we're going to see. So first of all, the first observation is that we are commanded to trust in the Lord. Just like we're commanded to obey, just like we're commanded to love God and to honor God, we're also commanded to trust in the Lord. Now here's the option. Just because God gives the command, we still have the choice of what? Obeying it or not. Right? Because God's given this thing called free will and responsibility. And so just because God says, hey, don't eat of that tree, right, in the garden, doesn't mean they can't eat of it, but there's consequences to it, right? He says, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die. So there is consequences to our disobedience, and that was the very first principle God was teaching. And so he's like, you have to trust me or else the consequences are going to be desperate. And so we're commanded to trust in the Lord. And so you're thinking, well, who's the one commanding me to do this? All of us have like a little rebel spirit in us, right? Well, who's in charge here? Who's telling me to trust in the Lord? Well, notice what the author of life says in John 14, 1. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled, right? It's like, well, that's hard to do, right? It's easy to let it get troubled in these times, in these troubled times. But Jesus is like, hey, I'm going to the cross tomorrow. I'm going to die. I'm going to raise from the dead in 3 days. But don't let your heart be troubled. He says, trust in God. Trust also in me. So here you have Jesus, who is the second person of the Godhead, saying, hey, trust in my Father. Trust in him. That's good. But trust also in me. Trust what I'm saying too. Now, is Jesus trustworthy? There's a key question. And here's the thing about history. He's been accurate 100% of the time all throughout history. So if you're looking for a trustworthy source, because you're always taught to consider the source, right? Jesus is 100% accurate all the time. Everything he has said has come true. So we can trust God. We can trust in Jesus, right? And that's what we should be doing. He told the disciples, trust in me. And there in John 14, John 13, we've seen some of those life-giving principles he gave the disciples to help them make life work. Because here's the thing. Sometimes when life isn't working for us, it's probably because we're either living in fear, or we're living in a lack of trust, or we're living in disobedience to the Lord. And life just doesn't go well, does it? Because we're facing the consequences of those choices we've made. And so Jesus is like, you got to trust me. Now, King David says in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. So if you were to narrow life down, right, love God, love other people. Obey God, honor other people. Trust in the Lord and just do good. So if you get nothing else out of the message, just get that, right? Well, I'm to trust God at all times and just be busy about doing what's right, doing what's good. Like, it's that easy? Yes, God didn't make life complicated. We make it complicated. King Solomon, Mr. Wise Guy, says in Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, right? Lean not on your own understanding. Don't trust your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Now, let me ask you a question. Is there blessings in trusting God? Let's just look at a couple of them, all right? So John 3:16, what is the blessing of trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior? What do you get in return? Eternal life, right? Not having to face eternal judgment, but having eternal life. That's a huge trust moment, right? With your life. Psalm says when you trust in the Lord, it says your fear goes away. Your fear subsides. Because you've chosen to trust in the Lord. Guidance for your life. Solomon says he will direct your paths if you just trust him. Jesus says, well, when should we trust him? How long should we trust him? Well, just one day at a time. You may be planners. You may be 5 years, 10 years out in your plans. But you know what? You got to trust God with every single day until then. Right? Because he can change things. Deliverance from your enemies, David says, Psalm 51. Psalm 32:10, the Lord's unfailing love surrounds those who trust him. When I sleep at night, I like to sleep all wrapped up. And doing so, I take covers from my wife. She wakes up and she's like, he did it again. He took all the covers and just wrapped himself up and just, she gets mad at me. So she's like, she got her own little blanket section now. It's like, that's fine. There's just more for me. But think about this. When we trust God, we are wrapping ourselves in his unfailing love. We can rest at night knowing, right, I am wrapped and surrounded in his love. And his love never fails. Romans 9:33, those who trust in him will never be put to shame. That's a promise right there, right? If I just trust in the Lord, I will never be put to shame. I will never regret trusting in God. So in uncertain times, we have to trust in what is certain. We'll trust what is certain. Well, what is certain? Well, God is certain, number one. Can't escape him. You can try to deny him all you want, but you're not going to get past him, right? We know that to be true, right? Trust his word. His word is certain, right? It's eternal. It will endure forever, Peter says. His promises are certain. His principles are certain. His care is certain, right? His love is certain. His provision is certain. His forgiveness is certain. His grace and peace and joy, those are all certain. So when life is uncertain, what should we trust in? What is certain? I know he will take care of me. Right? If he can take care of the birds, Jesus says, aren't you more valuable than the birds? If he can feed the birds, right? It's like, well, I hope I don't have to live off worms. That's what God feeds the birds. No, he gives us more than that, right? We can trust him with that. Trust what is certain. But what should we not put our trust in? 1 Timothy 6:17 says, don't put your trust or hope in riches, which is so uncertain. Don't look at your stock market right now, right? It's trying to come back. But that's not our hope. It's not where our trust is at, right? That's so uncertain. It has been for years, right? Now, is it wise to invest? Yes, but invest wisely, right? Nothing wrong with that, but don't put your trust in that. Proverbs 28:26 says, don't trust in yourself. A fool only trusts in himself. Being self-sufficient, well, I can do things on my own. Well, sometimes in your life, God forces you to trust him. You ever been in those moments? It's like, I have no other place to go but up. My eyes have to look up because that's the only place I know where help is coming from. When we built this building, we came in August of 2008. And guess what happened the very next month? Did anything record happen in September of 2008? Did anybody remember that? The bottom fell out. We went into this huge recession. The housing market just... And I was just like, oh my goodness. And you know what? We're still here. We were forced to trust God. He's always provided. But we were like, oh my goodness. We just got in at the right time or we're in trouble. But you know what? God came through. He's faithful in all things. We had to trust God when God was like saying, hey, you're not going to be able to have any more kids. It's like, oh. He's like, well, you can adopt. And we're like, oh, that's where Lucas comes into play, right? He turned 18 this week. So 11 years ago, 11 years ago, we were in Ukraine at this time. Not till Father's Day did we come back. So from Memorial Day to Father's Day, we were gone for a month getting that little rascal. Right? So we're very thankful, right? And so, but we were forced to trust God because our options were gone. When it comes to our thinking, our own bodies, and we're telling us, God was like saying, hey, there's no way you're going to have any more kids. And so we had to trust the Lord. We were forced to trust, but guess what God was doing? He's like, I got something better. I have something in store that you don't know about yet. And so we started taking that plan, and God started shutting this door and this door and this option. It's like, Lord, are you really taking this direction? And he's like, yes, you have to trust me. Don't you love it when those moments come? God is like, hey, you can't see through the fog, but I can. You have to just hold on tight and trust me. He's a great heavenly Father. He knows what he's doing. So in Jeremiah 17, we're going to read verses 5 to 10. And so this was a pivotal point in the nation of Israel's history. And so they were at a crisis. They were at a spiritual crisis. They were at a national crisis. I mean, the nation was depending on itself to flourish. And if you study the history of the nation of Israel, who started the nation of Israel? God did, right? And so God raised up Abraham and his seed, and throughout history, they delivered him from Egypt and gave him their own promised land. And Joshua came in and helped them conquer their promised land and all these things. And God gave it to them. But then they started to rely on themselves, started to trust in their own abilities, their own wisdom, and to forsake the Lord. So I'd encourage you this week to read Jeremiah 1, chapters 1 to 16, to get the full context of where this chapter is at. It's right in the middle. And so if God's speaking right in the middle of something, it's a pivotal point. So in chapter 18, he gives the illustration of the potter's house, right? So God has the ability to take what was marred in there and to make something new again. And that's what he's going to do with the nation of Israel. And so in chapter 17, Jeremiah comes on the scene. God raises up the prophet. The nation was in decline. And so notice verse 5. He says, this is what the Lord says. I love how God always interrupts history to put a point in there, right? He loves to interrupt our lives so we can listen to him, right? It's like, hey, what's really going on? So notice verse 5. It says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength. Now notice what happens when we trust in man, whose heart then turns away from the Lord. That's what Israel was doing. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. He will not see prosperity when it comes. He will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in a salt land where no one lives. Talk about isolation, right? We've all been on lockdown, shut down, isolated, and everything's different. He says, those who trust in man will, let's just show the first slide there, if we can. The next one, the one back. That's what life is going to be like. It's going to be in a dry, parched place. We're going to be like this bush that there's no water source, there's no nothing around. It's just dry and isolated. And the nation of Israel was at this pivotal crisis of belief moment. And God was simply saying to them, if you continue to go down the path that you're going, it's not going to be good. But if you at this moment will trust me and honor me and turn back to me and love me like you used to, I will bless you beyond measure. So they had a moment to either, they were at this crisis of belief, right? Am I going to really trust what Jeremiah the prophet is saying? Or are we just going to continue to, as life is going to go on? So are we going to face prosperity or are we going to face problems? And you may be in your family, you yourself may be in a crisis of belief moment. I don't know. God knows what your situation is. God knows the nation, the history of our nation. He knows everything about us. But I feel like we're at this critical moment to where we have to learn to really trust God. I don't know if you feel the weight of that. I feel the weight of that every single day. It's like, who knows what's going to happen? It's going to go this or it's going to go this way. Right? It can't just keep going flatline. And I don't want to be like the bush in the wasteland. But notice verse 7. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope or confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream, similar to Psalm chapter 1. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. So that's the object lesson that God was given to the nation of Israel. You can choose to be a bush or you can choose to be a life-giving tree. Even in hard situations, even in times of drought, even in times of severe heat, God's like, I can make you flourish. But it's all depending on who you trust. Isn't that an amazing situation? Now, do I trust in that we will get a vaccine? I hope we come up with a vaccine, right, for all of this. But my trust is not in science. I hope they come up with one. I think they can. They've done some remarkable things, right? God can help them do that and find the wisdom. But I'm not trusting science. Science will not always solve the problem. And that's what we're trying or being forced to believe. Well, just science will figure everything out. Well, the last thing I figured out is God, science didn't create this world. God did. And our hope is in him. You may be thinking, well, how do I trust God? How do I trust God? I know he's trustworthy. I know he has a great history record, but how do I personally trust God? Well, first of all, we got to realize it's a choice, what based on truth, the facts. It's an inner resolve from my heart, right? So it goes from here to here, then it's an act of the will. So Psalm 26, 1 says, David says, I have trusted in the Lord. I have put my trust in Him. I have to confess that. I have to say it out loud sometimes. Sometimes I have to pray it. Say, Lord, I trust in You. Even when life stinks and it's hard, and I don't understand everything, I'm going to choose to trust You. It's an act of the will. It's from the soul, right? But it's based on truth. We never make decisions that are uncertain based on uncertainty, do we? At least we shouldn't, I guess we should say. But that's how we trust the Lord. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. See, there's more than just, God didn't give us just truth. He gave us Himself, who is truth. Because God cannot lie, right? And He's the one that's always knocking on our door saying, hey, listen. This is what needs to come in. Fear's got to go. You got to trust Me in the midst of all of this. You got to just lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He's going to direct your paths. I got to trust that, right? Because here's what fear does. We start to play out everything, don't we? Well, if this happens and this happens, and we play the what if game, what if this, and it just keeps going, and we just fill our mind with stuff that shouldn't be there. But if we choose to trust God, that simply means, hey, one day at a time, God's going to take care of things. I can rest in that, right? I can rest with that. And just like that night where I had to call my friend for help, and he came barreling down, slice blaring, hey, gun out. That's what God does when we call on Him for help. It's like it's a weird illustration, but that's what God does. He moves when we ask for help, right? We have to trust Him. As we come up for our final song, you may be thinking, well, I've been living in maybe some fear, some unnecessary fear. I know these are hard times. I know these are hard to interpret times. You may be thinking, well, I never trusted in Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to begin with that. Well, you can today. Make that your first trust decision, the biggest decision of your life. And here's the thing, God will help you trust Him. Do you believe that? God is, every command He gives us, He helps us with. Does that make sense? It's like, hey, go clean your room. Now He goes, I'll go help you clean your room. Oh, you're going to willing to help me clean my room? That's even better. You're not just telling me what to do, you're helping me what to do, right? And God always comes to our help. He helps us trust Him. Because you know what? That's where the sweet spot is in making life work. I got to trust Him. Because if I don't, then it's just not going to work. It's just not.